Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could sleep with me on the top bunk of a bed and push me right out in the middle of the night. I'll get up, dust myself off, and say, wow, I guess you needed space. My guest today is an actor and comedian known from the HBO series Silicon Valley. You also know him from Crazy Rich Asians and the new Netflix rom-com Love Hard, where he plays a catfish. It's Jimmy O. Yang!
Hey, yo. Wow. I love that intro, Nicole. That
Thank you. I tried. I came in a little too hot.
But then you stayed hot. You stayed hot towards the end. It was very nice.
Jimmy, where are you from?
I'm originally from Hong Kong, but I grew up, high school, I was in LA.
Oh.
So a bit local, a little local.
I thought you were from the East Coast. You have kind of an East Coast vibe and accent.
People tell me that. I think when I came from Hong Kong, my English was not good. I could barely speak English. So I learned English by watching TV. Mm. So in high school, I watched a lot of rap music videos, Comic View, stuff like that. And then in towards college, I started watching a lot of Sopranos.
Okay.
So I think a lot of my accent, especially when I get drunk, you know, I sound like 50 Cent mixed with Tony Soprano.
I fucking love it. That's so funny to me. When I get drunk, I sound very Jersey because that's where I grew up. And you can take a bitch out of Jersey, but you can't take the trash out of her heart.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
When did you move here from Hong Kong? I didn't know you were from Hong Kong.
Yeah, when I was 13. So that was eighth grade. A pretty weird period, I think, for anyone in their life.
Yeah.
Especially an immigrant, the 5 feet tall little boy who couldn't speak, English.
Yeah, you're like going through puberty and you're like, I don't know who I can tell about this. This is tough. It's tough. I'm going through this alone.
Yeah, exactly. It was weird because I never really got like bullied,
mm-hmm.
You know, like as small as I was like fairly decently athletic, but I was also inadvertently funny. I don't think I was like trying to be funny in middle school. I would just say weird shit that's kind of wrong and like had just learned some slangs from Comic View and stuff and then just became inadvertently the funny kid.
I mean, honestly, that's the best way to do it. You just like accidentally are funny and then you're like, huh, maybe I can make a whole career out of this.
When you don't try, when you don't even know why you're funny, people just look at you and they laugh,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is maybe not the best thing either.
Yeah, I once had an audition where it was kind of serious, but it was like two lines and the casting director laughed and was like, you're funny. You're not going to get this, but you're funny. I was like, well, all right. At least somebody's laughing.
Yeah, it's like at that point, do you take it as an insult? Like, do I look funny? Because that happened on Silicon Valley. Like the very first episode was shot that, you know, the I eat the fish thing. And then I remember doing one take, Mike Judge was just like, just look at TJ. Don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you it'll be funny. And then it was just, even the crew started laughing. I don't know why, but it was just, I guess I looked funny.
It's fully a compliment. And also it just, you'll go home and be like, why was just my face funny? Then you have like a crisis looking in the mirror and you're like, is this funny to people?
Yeah, man. I usually have a crisis until the check clears and then I'm all good. You know what I mean?
Then you're like, I don't give a fuck why anybody was laughing. Exactly. The bank account's growing and that's growth for me.
Oh, shit.
Okay, we were talking before we started, or before I started recording. I like this cabinetry behind you, and
Thank you very much.
Have a guy. How did you find a guy to do things around your house?
Well, I think when you have a house, you need to have guys.
I have a contractor, and a contractor is a middleman.
But you can't always use your contractor because he charges a lot of money, bigger stuff. Like if you remodel your kitchen, sure, contractor. But then you also need a guy that does everything, like installs your buildings, paints walls, fixes your fence. Everybody needs a guy. I found this guy, I think, my garage door guy, which is a different guy, recommended me for him to stain my garage door. Mm-hmm. So then he recommended a couple other dudes. So his name is Rick. Mm-hmm. That's my guy. My garage, in my phone, he saved as Rick Garage Door, you know, stain. And then through him, I met Maury. He has a couple other guys. So now it's Rick and Maury. They're my guys that does everything big or small, sanding down a table, restaining certain things, painting my house, or installing cabinetry.
Oh. Wait, did you paint your whole house? Like the outside?
Yeah, I did.
What color?
Oh, man. It was, I wanted it to be white, but my neighbor's house is too white. It looks slightly like a hospital, you know? So I was like, I don't need that white, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then Rick experimented with it and he painted it with this paint color called Super White.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sherwin won. I'm like, Rick, Super White sounds very white.
It does.
I told you I don't want that white. But he's like, trust me, he's an old guy. He's like, trust me, man, it will knock your eyes out. When you see it, it'll knock your eyes out, Jim. And I'm like, all right, try it. And then he did it. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to ask you to redo it because it is blinding me. So I ended up choosing, I believe, Sherwin-Williams Alabaster, which is a slight off-white color.
Yes, it's like bone white, if you will.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. Very nice, exactly.
That's so funny that he was like, trust me, it's going to knock your eyes out. And you're like, that's not what I want, but, you know, go ahead. And then you're like, I was right.
It looked nice. It looked nice, but it just didn't look like a home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I always have to redo stuff as part of my process, which is very annoying to my guys.
And expensive.
Yeah, paint and stuff is fine. You know, when it comes to like cabinetry, that's a little expensive.
Did you like, I know this is a relationship podcast, but I love houses. Did you like remodel any of your house?
Yeah, so when I bought it, everything was from like 1949 or something. So I redid the kitchen, and that was during the pandemic. So it was okay. It was very stressful in a way because I thought I was smart. I was actually shooting Love Heart in Vancouver. I'm like, I'm going to be gone. The contractors can do their thing, you know. But the thing is, I don't know. Like, you want to be there to see the progress.
Yeah.
And you want to be there to keep the pressure on them. Because, I was being too nice. I was like, oh, you guys, take your time. I'm going to be in Canada for 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Just as long as you get it done. And it was supposed to be like a 6-week project. Ended up taking like 15 weeks.
Yep.
You know, so by the time I came back, I had to rent an Airbnb. I stayed at my parents' house because I was being too nice. With contractors, you got to really treat them like animals because they are used to other people treating them like shit.
Uh-huh.
So they're just really abused dogs is what they are. So you got to really be like, hey, man. I know you said 6 weeks, but fuck you. Get it done in 4 weeks and then they'll get it done in 10. You see what I'm saying?
That does make sense. I had my bathroom redone because my shower was leaking. I felt so lucky to have that problem. And I was told it'd be like 4 weeks and it ended up being truly like, I don't know, 15. It was like,
yeah,
it was insane. And then the tile took so long. Everything took so long.
Yeah. And then also during a pandemic, you know, people were like, you know, everything's back order, this and that, blah, blah. But I know, sure, that's part of the reason. But most of it was he has bigger, more expensive projects he's doing. You know what I mean?
Whoa, I said, but that really never occurred to me that it's like, oh, we're just doing her shower because it wasn't a full gut. It was just the shower. And it's like, he probably
had a full fucking
renovation that he's like.
Yeah, that he's like flipping a house for like $3 million,
oh,
you know.
My God.
This is segues into the relationship segment in this, you know. I feel like sometimes people are like willing to hang out.
Yeah.
But you're not their priority and you can feel it.
Yes.
And that's how I felt when I was messing with that contractor.
Okay. Are you single or are you dating?
No, I'm dating. My girlfriend, we've been going out for like 5 months now, something like that.
Okay, yeah. That's like a solid amount of time. I love it. So before she was your girlfriend, when you were like out in the streets dating, mm-hmm. were you the type of person to date multiple people?
When it's serious, no.
Mm-hmm.
When it's casual, yeah, I'll go on different dates, whatever, you know, just dating, you know. Mm-hmm. But once if I'm, you know, once it gets to like 3, 4, 5 dates and I'm getting more serious, I usually like, you know, I don't like it's too much effort mm-hmm. to then date other people. Like with my girlfriend now, she's great. And I remember like the first maybe 2 weeks after we're dating, I was already texting people back. Hey, I'm seeing this girl seriously, you know, blah, blah.
I love that because I feel like a lot of people, or in my experience, I've dated people for like a couple months. We've been on like, you know, 8, 9 dates or whatever. And I'm like, you're still talking to other people. I'm not because I don't have the time. And also,
yeah,
the bandwidth in my fucking brain.
Well, I feel like that's a conversation. You got to be clear, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe not the exclusive conversation yet. You don't want to rush that, you know, but it's like early on, it's like, hey, you know, I take you very seriously, mm-hmm. you know, just even putting it out there. And I don't know. Yeah, I try to be honest and I just don't want to put myself in that situation. Like, say I start answering a text,
mm-hmm.
right? And then say even early on in a relationship, then it's like, oh, do you want to go get a coffee? I'm terrible at saying no. So mm-hmm. and then I'll feel bad for like, blah, blah. So if I just say clear cut, I'm like, this was maybe 2 weeks into our dating, you know, my girlfriend mm-hmm. now. She wasn't my girlfriend, but I was very much like, hey, you know, I'm seeing somebody seriously,
mm-hmm.
you know, goodbye.
I like
goodbye
that.
Goodbye for now.
That gives me hope that somebody will do that for me. They'll be like,
there
listen.
There are good men out there, you know?
I'm seeing someone. That's like, that's nice. That's so nice to just say to somebody.
Yeah, and I think when people are wishy-washy,
mm-hmm.
that's suspect, you
know?
Yeah,
it's like, not nice.
No, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. And I feel like we're in an industry where people get real wishy-washy. They're like, all right, we have you pinned for this, but also the offer's out to somebody else. And who knows if you're going to get it. Oh, you fly out tomorrow. Or you just never hear back. And you're like, it doesn't hurt my feelings. Just tell me no.
Yeah, everyone just want to keep their options open, which I don't blame them. But at the same time, if you play that game even with yourself, you're not going to end up in a great, serious relationship. Because I feel like it's like people do this in college. It's like you should get a degree that should be your backup career. Mm-hmm. Even if you want to do stand-up, you want to do acting. It's like, no. Like, cut the cord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cut the safety net. Then it forces you have to succeed.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same thing with relationship. If you're going to keep your options open, you're shooting yourself in the foot. And you end up not taking anyone seriously.
Mm. Jimmy over here spitting the truth. I agree with you. Yeah, I wish more people were, because it doesn't hurt my feelings after like 3 or 4 dates if you're like, you know, I don't really see this going anywhere. Can we just be very casual and then like not expect anything from each other? I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Or I can make a choice and be like, well, no.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sometimes like for me, it's almost to a fault. Like I just want to know,
mm-hmm.
you know? Maybe I feel some way, maybe they don't, you know, but it also comes with age. Like if I was dating someone like much younger, whatever, I know it's not going to be right. Mm-hmm. If I'm dating someone that's like a serial monogamous, that's like, you know, age appropriate, that I can really see a serious relationship, mm-hmm. then yeah, that makes more sense. Even, you know, I don't know. I guess the cliche saying, it's like when it's right, it's right. You just kind of know. You guys are on the same page. But who knows? You also hear nightmare stories.
Yes.
Of like, you've been dating for 2 years. Of course, you think your boyfriend and girlfriends. And then boom, they're like, nah, we're not that serious. Like you hear that too. Uh-huh. And that messes you up for life.
Yes. Because you're like, 2 years. That's kind of like, I think it's DaBaby and Danny Lee. They have like a kid together. They've been in Instagram videos together. And then I guess it was like an Instagram video that got leaked or not leaked, but like I think he had posted it. But she was like, I have a closet here. What do you mean I'm not your girlfriend or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, if you have a closet at somebody's house.
Yeah.
You're very much in a relationship.
Well, it depends whose house, you know, his house, maybe it's 10 bedroom with like 8 closets.
Yeah, but so if I have a, you know, if I'm taking one of your 8 closets, I think we're a little serious.
Now, see, here's the thing though. I think a lot of times girls do this where like there's signs. Like say, okay, y'all take over a closet. Mm-hmm. And that's a sign, clear sign to a woman that, of course, we're in a serious relationship. But guys are so thick mm-hmm. sometimes. We don't see that. You know what I mean? Like, okay, she brought a toothbrush here. Okay, maybe that's a sign to some people. I don't know that. You know, sometimes. So I think it's like we're so dumb sometimes. Uh-huh. Like it's probably better to just be like, hey, you know, so where's this going? What's up?
Yeah, maybe that's, I got to be more upfront when I'm like, I think I'm feeling something. I got to say something. I got a tattoo the other day and I was talking to the artist and he said something about his wife. And I said, oh, well, I'm always interested in people's relationships, whether it's on a podcast or not. But I was like, when did you guys decide to be serious? And he said, like as a girlfriend or something or marriage? And I was like, oh, just as your girlfriend. He goes, well, we were dating for a year. We were sitting in the parking lot of my apartment complex. She looked at me and she goes, I love you. And then he said, I was like, what? You love me? And I was like, after a year? That was a surprise? Mm. After a year with this person, they said, I love you? So I think you're onto something with men being just a little thick in the head.
Yeah, and I don't know. Everybody goes at their own pace, but I think when I was younger, I would be afraid to be like, hey, where we at this? Are we taking each other seriously, mm-hmm. right? Because you don't want to be rejected or you don't want to push too much and then they leave. Mm-hmm. But I think when you're old enough, it's like, you know what? If I'm like, are we serious? And she's like, I'm still options open. Good. You go home, beat yourself up mm-hmm. for a day and then you get over it. You know what I mean? It's better to know. Like I always say, if somebody treats me very poorly, mm-hmm. right? Say a girl cheats on me or something, I'm not even mad. That's just a sign. You show me who you are. Ooh. And now I can move on. You know what Ooh. I mean?
That is healthy. Because
is that healthy?
Like, it is. When someone when someone shows you how they're going to treat you, to go, thank you. And then I can say goodbye. That's perfect.
I dodged the bullet. Yes. You know, like, thank you. Goodbye. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever date on the apps?
Oh, I did. I did. Yeah. I used Tinder, Bumble. I tried that Raya, mm-hmm. whatever they called it. You know? So, yeah, I tried most of them.
Did you have any luck on the apps?
It was okay. Tinder, that was when I was much younger. It was some casual dating. Bumble, I think I went on a couple. It's all very hit or miss. And Raya didn't really work for me too well because I'm not like a DJ or anything like or a male model, you know, like I am like the coolest person on Tinder, but the least famous celebrity on Raya, you know.
Yeah,
that didn't work. And it was just a bit highfalutin. I don't hang out in those. I don't like going to like Nobu or Soho House, anything highfalutin mm-hmm. anyways. So the other apps, yeah, it works for like a little bit, but then it's kind of like what I'm saying about keeping your options open. It's hard to find somebody that you want to commit to and somebody that want to commit to you because you know she can go on that app the same day and find 50 other people mm-hmm. and you can also go on the same app and find 50 people. Just knowing the fact that each other is on that app, it becomes very difficult mm-hmm. for me mentally.
Yeah, it is a wild thing to like, you know, open your phone and be like, this person, I pick them and I'm going to go out and hopefully we like each other. It's so wild.
It's a lot. It's definitely like it's like a shotgun mm-hmm. thing. You just spray your bullets and hope it hits something. It's a numbers game. I would say, though, I never used this app, I don't think. But two of my best friends, they met their wife and wife and very long term girlfriend on Coffee Meets Bagel. Which kind of fixes the problem I was talking about just now.
Uh-huh.
You don't like it.
I hate Coffee Meets Bagel because you have to earn beans.
Oh, I don't like the gaming fine now. I don't know how it was, but how it is. But how it was, it's like the simple fact that you can only get one match a day, which solves the problem of what I was saying earlier, you know?
Oh, I didn't even realize that was their whole thing, that you only get one match a day. I was really stuck on, like, why do I have to earn beans to swipe on people?
How do you earn beans?
I don't know. I never figured it out.
Wow. Jeez. So, yeah, maybe they changed it. I don't know. Because I'm like, how do you make money if it's just one match a day, you know?
I don't know.
It worked. I mean, I see my best friend from high school, you know, he's married to a great woman that he met on Coffee Meets Bagel.
So there is hope. Maybe I have to get back on Coffee Meets Bagel.
Maybe. Well, also, let me ask you this, though. I mean, your podcast, your very successful podcast is called Why Won't You Date Me? Is there ever, like, conflicting interest of, like, you almost maybe subconsciously don't want to meet someone because, or else what the hell are you going to talk about on your podcast?
I mean, no one has ever phrased it like that. People are always like, what are you going to do when you meet someone? I'm like, I'll keep going. But yeah, maybe there is something in my subconscious that's like, I have to remain single in order to keep my income.
Yeah. Well, it's like, hey, fuck it. You know, like if this doesn't work out, at least, you know, I can make some money on this podcast. So I don't know. There's some subconscious self-sabotaging of your relationship for the good of the podcast.
I am my own inner saboteur. Maybe.
Who knows?
That's something I'd have to actually like really think about.
Yeah. It's like, right? Like, is it, maybe I'm looking too deep into it, but maybe is it, because I do believe in like the secret and like manifesting and visualizing, right? So if, like, the fact that the podcast, it's you looking forward to talk about why won't anyone date you instead of like, if the podcast was named, Why Do I Have Such an Amazing Boyfriend? Then maybe that's your, you know, your manifestation.
Oh my God. Maybe I change the name of the podcast right here to right now. Like, I have an amazing boyfriend. I'm in a secure relationship. We're both emotionally available and everything's good. And people are like, that is too long. How do we abbreviate that?
Then you're manifesting it. You change it to best relationship ever. That's the name of the podcast. Oh, I don't know. I sound very woo-woo or whatever right now, but I believe in some of that stuff.
No, I love that. Maybe I got to start like manifesting shit. Real quick, we got to take a break. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy. I think I said, I love you, daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only from my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back. How did you meet your girlfriend?
I met her at the Hollywood Improv. You know, she's doing stand up. That's why like I prefer meeting people in person because I do go out and see a lot of people when I'm doing stand up, whether it's my friends at the Improv, you know, people that work at the comedy clubs, venues, or, you know, audience members even. So I was just, before my set, I was at the bar and I was like, oh, this girl is really pretty. Let me say hi. And then she introduced herself. And then I was like, man, I really want to talk to her. I have to go do a set right now, but I really want to go talk to her after the show. So usually, you know, you hang out the improv at the bar, kind of chill until the audience comes out. But I had another set that night, so I couldn't really hang out at all. But then I found her on Instagram. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use the good old DM here, you know, slide into her DM. And then guess what? I tried to slide into her DM and I realized she had DM'd me 6 months ago and I never replied back off some like business stuff, off some like real like business stuff, like not flirting or whatever. And I was like, oh, this is a good sign. So, you know, we found out we live very close to each other. So we just got dinner couple nights later, and then we've been hanging out since.
Wow. That's like some real fucking the universe, like bringing y'all together.
Yeah, I always tease her. I'm like, yeah, you know, you were kind of hitting on me too. I know it was like a business DM, but you want to talk to me too. She's like, no, no, come on. It was a very business DM.
I fucking love that. She's like all about business and you're like, hey, go out with me. And she's like, ugh, fine. Can we get business done?
Yeah, and you know what it is? She's very pretty and very hot, and, but like, you know, on her Instagram, her profile pic or her Instagram, it's like very like normal and not like booty pics and stuff, you know what I mean? Which is for stupid ass Jimmy, it's probably why I never reply back the first DM, because her profile pic, the little, you know, 1-inch dot that you see, like I couldn't see much. Like it was just like a selfie that definitely doesn't show how beautiful she is. And, you know, but I'm glad that it worked out that way. So I actually get to see her in person first and then get to know her and then blah, blah, you know.
Yeah, I think there is a danger to like looking at someone's social media and getting this idea of somebody in your head. And then you meet them and you're like, huh, this doesn't fucking match.
Yeah, that. And also if somebody's Instagram is too hot, because then, you know, they got guys or girls, they got 100 people DMing them. It's like the fact of being on Tinder, you know, they have too many options and they put in this shit out there a little too much.
Yeah.
You know, like they're a little thirsty and that's probably a bad look. And I'm glad that was not the case. And, you know, for my girlfriend.
So in Love Hard, you play a catfish. Have you ever been catfished?
I have never been catfished, no. I'm pretty, you know, I'm pretty realistic. I feel like people that really get catfished, it's like they have like kind of a dream scenario and they don't want to burst their own bubble, you know, by not bursting the other person's bubble. So when people say, I can't FaceTime, whatever, they kind of go along with it and give themselves excuses, you know. Whereas for me, I'm like, hey, do you want to FaceTime? Do you want to go on a date? Like I'm pretty straightforward. You know, if you wishy-washy, even if you're not a catfish, I'm like, okay, you're just wasting my time. So no, luckily I have not.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. People who get catfished, because, you know, you watch the show and they're like, I was talking to Post Malone for a year and it turns out I'm Post Malone. It's like, okay, that's you really not being realistic or truthful with yourself.
Yeah, they just want to believe that, you know, they're cool, that's all. And sometimes that's more important than realism is your perception of yourself. So yeah, you know, I don't blame them, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to, you know, believing in yourself so much that you can manifest something wild happening. But then also I like to live in reality and I'm like, this person, you're not real.
Yeah, also if you're bragging about dating Post Malone, think you're still short on a couple therapy sessions.
I genuinely love Post Malone.
Oh, he's great.
But sometimes I'm worried about him.
Yeah, yeah, that too. And also, what are we? Like 16-year-old schoolgirls that want to date the rapper on the poster? You know, I mean, come on. Like you know, there's many. Just because they're famous or rich doesn't mean they're good people. Or I don't know. He could be a great guy. That's not what I'm saying. Yes. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you don't know what people are like till you know them.
Exactly.
Yeah. I watched, I think, a first date happen at Applebee's the other day. So I went to Applebee's with my friends because they had Cheetos crusted like wings and like Cheetos crusted like, I don't know. It was like gooey cheese. I don't know. It was wild.
Sounds good. Yeah.
I drank a Mountain Dew Berry Blast. I almost passed away. It was a lovely time. And I was watching this first date happen and it was so cute. We were outside. They were inside, but they were like laughing and she was like doing silly faces to him. And I was like, boy, watching people in love is adorable, or fall in love is adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that. I was on the road doing a show in Connecticut out of all things. And, you know, I just went to a restaurant after the show and there's a couple like, you know, they across the table, but they holding hands like up and down like that. Oh. Like, I'm like, oh, this is first within the first 3 dates. They might not have even fucked yet, you know, but it was very sweet to see that.
That is so sweet. But also I'm like, when do you break the hand holding when you're sitting at a table to be like, I'm thirsty or I'm trying to eat this shit.
Yeah, see, I'm very, even like my girl, we haven't been going out for all that long, but I'm very, you know, realistic with her. Like, this is who I am. You know, like, I'm going to tell you, okay, like, let's not hold hands. My hands are getting sweaty. Like, I'm just, I let her, this is good. So you don't find out later, you know, like, I'm very free with my farts. I'll just fart, you know, and Sundays I need to watch football and play fantasy football with my buddies. Like, that's, just gotta throw that out there. I'm not trying to play some kind of charade and be somebody I'm not, you know?
I like that. I also try very hard to be as real as possible because it's like, you're only gonna find out later that I'm very annoying about this particular thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I like ice cream a lot. And I went on a date with this guy and I was like, do you like ice cream? He said, yeah. And we went to Milk Bar and he was like, you should get, or what did he say? I think he was like, don't get the ice cream. And I was like, I'm going to get the ice cream. And then it was terrible ice cream and he paid for it. And then I was eating it. And then he just looked at me and was like, you can throw it away. And then I threw it away.
That's very nice.
It was very, very, very nice because I was like, he paid for it, so I better just eat this. But it was so depressing because everything else at Milk Bar is so good. And then we went back to my house, and I was like, I have ice cream from... my favorite ice cream place is called The Social. It's in Brooklyn, and they will ship it to you via Goldbelly. No, they do not pay me, but I just want everyone to experience this ice cream. So I got ooier gooier, and I was like, you have to taste this. And he was like, I like Jenny's better. All I want is to go on a date with someone where I got to like just taste test a bunch of ice cream. And if we like the same ice cream, I win and you date me forever.
That's awesome. That's really nice. Do you ever like ask your friends like, hey, can you guys hook me up with someone or something or whatever?
I am constantly asking people, Jimmy, do you have someone who's single in your life who needs to be set up?
I might. Yeah, I might. Let me think about this. Maybe there's a couple dudes on my fantasy football league.
Okay.
You know?
All right. What is fantasy football?
Wait, you don't... Is this a serious question? Like, I get it. I get it. Like, not you don't play fantasy football, but do you know what it is or no?
So I feel like you pick a team of any old person you want, and then I don't know what happens after that.
Oh, we have a draft in the beginning of the year. You pick individuals from a team.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey from the Panthers, you know, Russell Wilson from the Seahawks, Tom Brady, whatever, right? And then you create your own team with a quarterback, two running backs, couple receivers, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So that's your team. And it composed of people from different teams in the NFL. So each week, based on their statistics, how many touchdowns they get, how many, you know, yards they get, whatever, this and that, you're given a point, and whoever scores the highest point wins that week, and it's like a league.
Who runs the statistics?
An app, like an automatic thing. So we play it on Yahoo Fantasy Football. There's ESPN. There's whatever. Like, there's like a million of them, you know?
Okay. The reason why I ask is, I might date a boy who's into fantasy football, and I can't wait to be like, I know all about that. Who'd you pick from the draft?
You will date a dude that's into fantasy football. And it's good, you know, it's good to have a basic understanding of fantasy football, but I feel like you don't have to be like, oh man, you know, get really into it. Because if my girlfriend's like really into it, that might actually turn me off. I like that she supports it. She's like, this is your thing. Sundays, I'm going to leave you alone. You go do your thing. And I'm so into it, and I like her so much, sometimes I still ask her about, players, just just because I'm babbling. Like, she has no idea what that, like, I sound like a madman, you know what I mean? But yeah, I don't think I think sometimes you'll try too hard and, and it's like, oh, let me get in your fan. It's like, no. Just guys just need to be left alone at certain times.
Ooh, that's also good advice because I love bothering people. Don't you want to hear my voice? Hi, hello. Do you want to see me? So, okay, this is good advice. Take a step back, have a basic understanding of interests, but I don't have to make those interests my own interests.
No, you know what something my girlfriend does that I like a lot is, say I'm hanging out with bros from my fantasy football league, right? She would, like, say we go out on, like, a double date with one of those bros and, like, you know, his girl. She would actually, if she likes the person, would make an effort to hang out with the girl, you know, so they can go on a girl date while I watch football or, like, whatever.
Oh. You know?
So that I found very endearing.
Interesting. I've never thought of that.
I never thought that was a thing. I never thought that was something I wanted in someone or whatever, but that was very nice.
But that is nice to be like, oh, we can, like, go on double dates, or, like, I'll hang out with his girlfriend and you guys do whatever you want to do. That is
exactly
nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Wow, your girlfriend's thoughtful and nice. Maybe I should date her. Jimmy, tell me, how did you get into comedy?
I think I was just bored. And I graduated with an economics degree from UCSD. I never really partied in college, whatever. And I don't know, I was hanging out with the same group of friends from high school, which I love them, but it's like, man, I need to do something, not sit behind a desk doing finance all my life. So it was a little boredom, a little desperation.
Wait, were you in finance?
I interned at Smith Barney, which is, like, basically Morgan Stanley, whatever, one of those financial institutions. I hated it. Not that it's the company's fault, I just didn't like that job.
It wasn't for you.
No. And so really, it wasn't about money. It wasn't like, I watch Eddie Murphy Raw with my brother 10 times, and I promised him on his deathbed I was going to do comedy. It wasn't nothing like that. It was just like, I really, really, I was hungry for a community, some growth, some new friends. And I remember the first couple of open mics I did at the Haha Comedy Club in North Hollywood. I was like, man, okay, like, I'm just doing open mics. It's shitty. I have to pay to get on stage. Like, it's like that. But it was nice. I was like, man, this is an outlet. Like, this is a hangout. I'm seeing the local open micers. We're giving each other tags. You know, I see an avenue to make new friends and possibly even meet girls, you know? So that was what sucked me in. And I started hanging out at those comedy clubs every night. Because I didn't have nothing better to do.
I mean, there's worse places you could hang out. Did you ever get chuckle fuckers? Like, girls who were like, oh my God, you're so funny. You're so funny. Do you want to, like, come back to my house? Tee hee hee. Make my pussy giggle.
Maybe not that obvious, but yeah, sure. I think every comic has experienced that. That's one of the benefits of doing stand-up, right? Like, to some degree. And yeah, it took me a few years to, like, get funny. And then that was one of the main things. I was like, what, 22? I wasn't getting laid. So that was definitely, like, suddenly you become the guy that was invisible in high school, never partied in college, to the guy that everyone is paying attention to, all 150 people is paying attention to every night. So, yeah, it's got to be, you get more, like, some girls got to be down, you know, at some point. So, yeah, I would say a lot of my girls I've dated or early on, even, you know, girls I've hung out with, whatever, were probably from stand-up, you know, or stand-up adjacent. Because, I mean, aside from stand-up, I don't leave the house. There's nothing else I do. So, you know, I watch football with my buddies. I eat with my friends. And then I do stand-up. That's really the only place I meet people.
Yeah, I mean, same. It's like I work, I do stand-up, and then I go out to eat with friends. And I was like, ooh, let me get a hobby. I need a hobby, I think. And then I started dancing, and I was like, that's a pretty self-contained hobby.
Yes, yes.
Not going to meet people that way.
You need a group hobby.
Yeah.
Do you have a new hobby now?
I don't have a new hobby. Well, it was roller skating, but I, like, fucked up my ankle at the end of 2020, and I'm still, like, a little afraid of being on wheels. But I was like, maybe I do pottery or something? I don't fucking know.
Pottery, yeah, but that's still you and the pottery thing.
You're right.
I don't know. I used to bowl. Every Tuesday before the pandemic, I had a little bowling, not league, just like a hangout.
Mm-hmm.
So it's me and a director friend of mine, and then he'll invite his friend. So sometimes it'll be five of us, sometimes it's like 20 of us, you know, and it just became a great social thing. Because it got to a point where like me being at a stand-up comedy club was like getting unhealthy. I was drinking too much. Mm-hmm. I was there too much. I was, you know, there's a darkness to a lot of this comedy stuff. So the bowling stuff was such a great outlet. And I was like, okay, even because a lot of times, whatever, however old you are, whatever stage of your career, you feel a little stuck, especially in LA, you know, because everything's so sparsed out. People don't just meet people. You walk down the street, there's nobody, you know. So that bowling thing, at least every week, gave me some hope of like social life and maybe like meeting people.
Yeah, I think I gotta figure out what that is for me now that like we're getting our boosters and people are out and about. Are you touring again?
I was doing some college shows, but I think I'm gonna wait till next year to do like a full on like public tour.
Yeah, I was doing shows at the end of the year, but then I booked something and then that fell through. But then I was like, oh, let's just keep them canceled. Let's just try again next year. This year was so weird.
I feel like coming out of the pandemic, during the pandemic, we're like, all we want to do is get out and be normal. But then we got so used to being at home, and I'm so comfortable at home. Now you really need to beg me to go out. I don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
I like made my house the way I like it. I put up a bunch of wallpaper and shit.
Yeah.
Got some rugs. And I was like, oh, I love it here. I don't want to go.
I love it. See, like little house projects. I'm gardening a little bit. I'm cooking a lot. This and that. And you know, like just work at the house. Like it's never done, you know, even if it's like a little paint or whatever. So I'm having a lot of fun. And now I have a girlfriend. Like, what am I?
Now it's like, why go out? Everything I like is right here.
But that's the problem, right? Then I become a shitty boyfriend who doesn't want to go out. Mm-hmm. So I gotta make an effort still. You know, I think single guys or girls go out to meet single girls, right? But then that's when you were fun.
Yes.
And then that's when girls want to go out with you. And then when you're in a relationship, you actually don't want to go out anymore, you know?
But I want it. I'm tired of going out.
I'm telling you, it's the name of this podcast, Nicole. Like this podcast is called Why Won't You Date Me? That's negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it should change it to why does everyone want to date me? You know, or like, you know, like,
why does everyone want to date me? And then I come on, I'm like,
you need a pivot.
Okay. I mean, I've been doing it for almost 4 years. Maybe it is time for some rebranding. It's a new day for me.
That's what I'm saying.
Real quick, we have to take another break. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking, intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York, formulated with chili pepper. Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is Hot Honey and Cocoa Zing. I put it on my lips, and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy, and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. And we're back. So when you started doing stand-up, did you think this would segue into acting, or did you fall into acting?
No, I was. I just heard anecdotes from friends. They're like, yo, I was at this vodka commercial. I was in background. And then they bumped me into like a feature guy. I was just a security guard in this commercial, and I got $60,000 worth of residuals. I was like, damn, that's a game I want to be in. You know, so I was hoping to get some commercial representation or whatever and just go to those cattle calls and maybe book one commercial every other year so I can pay some rent, you know. And then I found an agent that, you know, would send me out to like little guest star roles, like on, you know, Modern Family, Two Broke Girls. I felt very fortunate. But at the same time, I was like, man, I'm not prepared. I wasn't ready to act, you know. Like, even though, you know, being on stage, doing stand-up, I think kind of helps a lot. But I don't know how to audition. I don't know what, when they say like slate your name, like what's slate? Why did they have to say that? Like all these like little rules and stuff. So then I used all my money that I had, even just $50 from a show at Bakersfield, whatever, right? All that money. Like my rent was like $450, but I spent like $500 a month taking acting classes, you know, and figuring it out, reading books, this and that. And of course, that just teaches you the basics. You still need to practice it. So for me, being on Silicon Valley, it was very, very, I was very grateful. That's working with the best improvisers, working with Mike Judge, Alec Berg, and everyone else. That was like going to college for me, you know, when it comes to acting.
I feel like with acting, people have aspirations and they really want it. And I'm like, yeah, but like, you can't really prepare yourself to what it's like to be on a set, especially if you're on a set with people who've been doing it for a long time. Yeah. You kind of just everything, like you can prepare, but like you're going to learn so much. And then what I've learned is like the audition is a different skill than the table read, which is a different skill than actually working.
Yeah. And also, I feel like acting classes, they teach you a lot of tools, you know, Stella Adler stuff, Uta Hagen, whatever, all the Stanislavski stuff. It's all great tools. But I would say most things I've done didn't require any of it. I'm not method acting. You know what I mean? Some did. Some absolutely did. And I needed to like have real acting, you know. But a lot of it, it just, you go there and say a line.
Yes.
Like hit your mark and say a fuck. Just fucking do it. Like literally, right? Like it's not Meisner right now. Just you're playing person in line at a grocery store. Say the fucking line.
Say the line so we can all go home.
Yeah, a lot of acting classes, I wish, like I joke about this. I'm like, I'm gonna teach an acting class that's just practical acting. Talking about eye lines.
Yes.
Blocking.
Yes.
You know, saying a line, or when is it good to improvise, when is it not? Because one of the things that people do, oh, they said, oh, it's an improv set, I can improvise. They don't know what the fuck that means. And then they were like, hey, instead of like say like, hey, tomorrow we're going to a library. They're like, tomorrow we're going to the gym. It's like, motherfucker, there's locations we book. You can't just say gym because you wanted to, okay? It's got to make sense. And also, you can't improvise off camera on the other guy's coverage. That's like crazy, you know? And people don't get that, right? Because they don't teach you an acting class.
They really don't.
So I think
don't.
Practical acting is very important. What does a turnaround mean? What's coverage? Your coverage behind your back, you know, you still got to give it to the other person. How do you help? Don't step on the other person's line when it's their coverage. That kind of stuff. It's important.
It is important. And that's truly all stuff you learn on a set. But I do think a practical acting class would be so helpful for so many people, because I've done scenes where I would improvise something when it was my coverage, and then when it flipped, they were like, oh, can you just say the same thing again? I'm like, it doesn't matter. The reaction is the same, whether it's the scripted line or the improvised line. we're just wasting time. So just, I'll just say it, you do it.
That's right. That's right.
Ooh, and baby, when people don't know their lines.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've all been there, you know, sure. I try to not, you know, but it's, yeah. You know, I would say, like, even most directors I've worked with, I've worked with some great directors, you know, Peter Berg, Mike Judge, Alec Berg, Ken Kwapis, who directed the second season of Space Force, who has John Hamburg, who I just worked with, and for Love Heart, Hernan Jimenez. These guys are great. They're actors, directors. They know how to talk to actors on the stuff you learn, give you an objective goal, like really break it down, blah, blah, whatever. But there's so many directors that they just care about the camera coverage.
Yes.
Like, hey, say this line to this person and then turn your head and say it out the window on this. I'm like, come on, you know. But then as an actor, you learn to translate that yourself.
Yes.
Okay. I need to give myself a motivation to walk over there, not just walk over there, right? I would say Ken Kwapis was absolutely one of my favorites. He did the pilot for The Office, and he wrote this book, which is my favorite book. It's called What You Really Want to Do is Direct, if anybody want to get it. It's Ken Kwapis. And it helps you with directing. It's fun anecdotes about how he set up the bullpen, about the relationships of the people at The Office, so if you're an Office fan. And also, if you're just an actor, how to be professional on set, like how he kind of shows you like how it is on set. Like it's very cool. I love that book. And we got to work with him on season two of Space Force, which haven't came out yet, but that was a very nice, refreshing experience.
That is exciting because I just started watching The Office in the year of 2021.
There you go.
I don't know why I had never seen it before, but I started watching it and I was like, this is so funny. And
then it's great.
I like read somewhere that people thought Michael Scott was too mean in the first season, so they softened him up in the second and subsequent seasons. And I was like, oh, but I liked him like that. I thought it was so funny. I just watched I think it was the Valentine's Day episode with Bob Vance, Vance Refrigeration. That joke made me laugh so hard, and it's so simple. Do you watch The Office?
Yeah. Which joke was that?
This was, it's not even a joke. It's just Phyllis's boyfriend's name is Bob Vance, and when he introduces himself, he goes, Bob Vance, Vance Refrigeration, and then she gets a bunch of flowers delivered to her from Bob Vance, Vance Refrigeration. And it was just like, this is such a dumb thing that I love. Also, yeah. I'm like, will Pam ever break up with her fiance? I feel like she will because her and Jim, they just really seem so wonderful. And then I was like, oh my God, Mindy Kaling and BJ Novak, is it art imitating life or life imitating art? Because I feel like in her life, she's like, I love BJ. And BJ's like, we're not dating. And I'm like, oh, this is so what? It's been a real journey for me.
How far are you? Like season two-ish?
I'm in the middle of season two.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I'm very excited for you.
Thank you. I think it's so, I just watched, the Valentine's Day one. And then the one after was, I think it was like Bring Your Kids to Work Day. Oh, that one was very funny. Oh, and the Christmas episode. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, you would love this Ken Kwapis book. Like, it's so cool. Like how they set up the pilot. And
I wrote it down. I think I'm going to get it because I am interested in directing. Directing is a very interesting thing. I shadowed Payman Benz a little bit on my show.
Great.
He's wonderful. And then our DP is this guy named Rick Page. And I was like, maybe I'll talk to Rick for a little bit. And that was so, I learned so much about like how you set up a shot like in TV where it's like, well, we've seen this side a bunch of episodes. Let's flip it and see something else to make it like, to keep it interesting for the viewer. And I was like, oh shit, I never thought of it like that. But I was like, yeah, we're creatures of habit, but also we like to see different aspects of, you know, the set or like a character. Like when they do something unexpected, you're like, ooh, what's going to happen next? Yeah, it's just really interesting.
For sure.
The whole.
Yeah, I think actors all make great directors. They know how to talk to actors, first of all, and they know how to tell a story. They're not just directing coverage and camera. You know what I mean? Which is what a lot of TV directing devolves to. They're just trying to make the day and cover it, you know? But yeah, I think all the good directors are great storytellers that knows, okay, you walk over there and hit this mark, not because I told you so, not because it looks better for the camera, but because you want to be close to this person and beg for him to stay or something. You know, like there's a reason and an objective and a story behind every move, you know, in a way.
Did you see Zola?
I haven't.
I really liked it. I cannot pronounce. I think her name's Janza or Janzica Bravo. I believe that's her name. She really told a story that I was like, my God, I get everything you're trying to convey to me. Like, I loved it so fucking much. Do you think you're going to direct?
I would love to. I would love to. I think every set I'm on, you know, if they let me, you know, I'm always at Village. Always, you know, even Space Force, because I wrote an episode this year. So I had a great time hanging out with Village, even when Video Village, for people that don't know, it's like where the directors, producers
the DP,
sit,
everyone, the you writers, know,
to watch what
monitors.
Is all happening. So like me pitching jokes, stuff like that, even in scenes I'm not in, and like just kind of, you know, thinking about ideas, things like that. I loved it so much. So for sure, I think every acting job I get is also a learning experience for maybe a future directing job.
You sound like a real student of the world. Are you in therapy? Because you sound like you're like very secure with yourself. I love this.
Yes, I have done many years of therapy. Currently, no, I call my therapist whenever on a needed basis, but yeah, I think that's I don't know why so many actors are so crazy, because I think we could be, because I think they allow us to be a little crazy as artists, but I think being an actor, you know, you gotta be in touch with yourself and know what's going on in human nature, you know, in order to convey the story of human experiences. So I don't know. I think it's our job to know ourselves and you know, be somewhat well adjusted.
Yeah, it is part of the job. Honestly, you've said a lot of gems that I'm like, you know, Jimmy's right. We did forever ago, this image is like imprinted in my mind. We did this like corporate gig over Zoom, and you were doing like a staycation at this hotel, and you were so backlit, and you were like, that's just how it is. And you also had a beer, and I was like, he's having a nice time. Yeah. I like went and got a cocktail, and I was like, I'm gonna have a nice time too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they hire us to be entertaining, right? Especially like a corporate job, because they can't drink and whatever. So it's like, it's our job to be kind of a mess. Like, you know, sure, I could fix my lighting. Sure, I don't have to drink. But it's like, yeah, I get it. This is why they hire us, you know? So it's like, why not?
Well, I like went and got a drink, and I was like, I'm going to have a nice time too. And I was like, I think Jimmy's onto something.
That was so fun. I'm not going to name the company, but it was me, you, Roy Wood Jr.
Christella. And like
Christella. It was like a game show on Zoom or something. I miss those days. Now, like, corporate shows of colleges, they're like, can you come in person? I was like, I'll take half the money. Can we just do it on Zoom?
I mean, I'm right there with you. I'm like, oh, you want me to, like, fly out to ask a couple questions and answer questions? Yeah, let's do it on Zoom. Truly, pay me half. I'll get out of my bed. I'll put on a wig. We'll have a nice time.
Yeah, and honestly, Zoom was really cool that, because, you know, I do a college show. I just go do an hour of stand-up. You know, and it's not super interactive. Sure, I might do some crowd work or whatever. But even on Zoom, because I refuse to do stand-up on Zoom. So on the Zoom shows I did, it was always Q&A. And a lot of times, especially if it's like students, they actually get a lot out of it. They felt like they really interacted and like got some advice or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think if I continue to do college shows, I'll probably try to incorporate more of a Q&A vibe. Because the last time I did an hour, I was like, oh, my references for these children are so dated. I was like, who knows what Hocus Pocus is? And they were like, no, you mean just the saying Hocus? I'm like, the movie. It's just, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm getting too old for this shit.
I know, references. And I was just actually talking to my buddy and my girlfriend about this yesterday. There's just so many, like, okay, I finally learned what Bitcoin was, right? And then I learned what NFT was, right? But now they got, like, this thing called gas, and now they got this thing called DAO or whatever the fuck. I'm like, this is too much. It's going too fast for me. I'm too old. I'm becoming the old man where, like, I'm complaining. Like, every 2 days they got a new word. You know, I tried, but it's a no.
I truly feel you on that. Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for doing this. We've come to the end. Do you have anything that you want to promote?
Well, Love Hard is still on Netflix. It's a holiday movie. It's a very beautiful rom-com with me, Nina Dobrev, Darren Barnett, Harry Shum Jr. It's a great film. We're number one in the whole world in 60 countries for 10 days, 7 days, something like that, until The Rock and Red Notice overtook us, which I ain't even mad about, okay? But it's so great to hear all the fans. Thank you for all the fans that's watched it. Worldwide, I'm getting messages from people from Argentina, Guatemala, Philippines, Singapore, Czech Republic, whatever. Just seems like a very beautiful, nice, universal story that everybody can enjoy. So if you watched it already, watch it again on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Watch it again on Christmas. And if you haven't, check it out, Love Hard on Netflix.
I love that. Jimmy, thank you so much. If you like this episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, rate it, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you write me something dirty, you can send it to the email, whywon'tyoudatemepodcasts@gmail.com. I will read it aloud. This nice person said, oh my God, I just want to open your legs and motorboat your cod canal until you're as wet as the seven seas and we sail away in ecstasy. I cannot believe someone called my vagina a cod canal. Well,
wow.
You know, we're here for a short time, not a long time. Let's have fun. Thank you for that. Okay. Bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.
Do you like to break the rules? Are you curious about gift-giving etiquette? If so, I implore you to check out a very funny podcast called I Said No Gifts on the Exactly Right Network. Every Thursday, host Bridger Weinegar invites his favorite people in comedy into his backyard to chat. He just has one rule, no gifts. Unfortunately, everyone has ignored this simple request. They all bring gifts and force Bridger to talk about it. In addition to yours truly, past visitors include Bowen Yang, Darcy Carden, Mitra Johari, and Weird Al Yankovic. Each episode includes a fun game, and Bridger offers perfect gift-giving advice to clueless listeners. In case you were wondering, I brought him cough drops, and it was a treat and a dream. Don't miss new episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.